It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the TAN Talk Radio Network with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, on the show where you can find help and hope. And on the boards today, we have the most fabulous Vaughn.
How are you doing on this fine Saturday, ladies?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Thanks for helping us today. We appreciate you.
Of course.
Thanks. And we have, as always, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny. How are you?
How are you today?
Good. We had a good week.
Oh, my God. We had such a busy week. I was busy. This morning, I did a support group at Arden Courts. You guys know how I talk about support groups. I do a support group the second Saturday of every month at Arden Courts in Seminole and the fourth Saturday in Largo. And it was a great group. You know, a woman came in there today, her first support group, her first time, scribbling notes, laughing, crying, hugging by the time she left. Makes me so happy. Let me introduce our guest before we keep talking further. Our guest is Pat DiMartino, and she's from the Citizens Commission on Human Rights of Florida.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for being here today. And we're going to chat with you in a little bit. Before we talk about the rest of the week, I don't want to forget, I want to say a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Juanita in St. Pete, Kate in Sebring, mm-hmm. and Liz in Tampa.
Welcome, lady.
You know how we always say there's always room for more listeners on Connecting Caregivers Radio. Doesn't cost you any money. You don't even have to tune in at noon. You can go to the podcast if you want.
We save them a seat up front.
Right. And then go watch us on
your own computer.
If you want to. but there's all sorts of choices. But yeah, and it was also an exciting week this week that I got to be on the news.
Oh, wasn't that exciting?
So every morning, so a few years back, I was having some issues that I was feeling down, and I was waking up every morning not very happy. So I made a choice, and I get up every morning, and I walk my dog. Unfortunately, my dog passed away a few months ago, but I still take the walk. So every morning I go out and I take my walk, and then I live on Lake Seminole. Mm-hmm. And I go out on the dock and I say my prayers and say, tell me what to do today because I don't have a clue. And then I take a picture of a bird or a duck or a flower or the sunrise or whatever. See, this is some of them.
Oh, wow.
And then I post it to Facebook. And I post it to Facebook and I just say, good morning, Seminole. And then I email it to Lynn, and because we both live alone, and she sends me a message back, good morning, Linny. And then I email it to my stepmother, who lives in New York City. Because she also lives alone. Except when she emails back, she says,
nice things.
Magnificent! A watercolor! So every morning I get kissed by my stepmother.
Oh. And a slap from your friend.
And then I email it to some caregivers. And I happened to go to a seminar. This was probably like a year ago. And I was sitting in the audience, and people would come up, and they go, good morning, Seminole, you know, and we laugh, and they walk away. And there was a man sitting next to me, and he's one of those guys that has the American flag everywhere, you know, those vests.
Yeah.
His name was Dave, the same name as my dad, and he turns to me, and he says, can you tell me what good morning, Seminole is? So I tell him what it is, and I show him some of the pictures on my telephone, and he turns to his wife, he turns back to me, and he said, we're 92 and we don't get out that often. Do you think you could email me that picture every day too?
Oh, I said, wow. Sure
I could. So he turns over and he's talking to his wife and he's like, Shirley, she's going to send us the pictures. And then he turns back to me and I said, what's your email? He says, DNS Beach Bums. I'm thinking that must have been an old email. So I would send him the picture every day, and just once in a while he would send something back. And then a few months back, I got an email, and the woman said, I don't know who you are, but my dad passed away, and I want to thank you for sending these pictures to him, and I want to let you know that he has 10 of them framed in his office that we're going to donate to the library. I'm like, what? Well, so somebody heard this story, and last week, Channel 10 News came, and they filmed me taking my photo and showing, and they put it on the news.
They did, so, and it was good.
It was good. It was cool.
Good.
It was fun.
We didn't get to see it live because we were at.
Oh, we were at that award dinner.
Yes. So, Dedicated Heart Award.
Delivered with hearts. Blessed and grateful to say I received an award for being a good educator, care partner by my peers. So that was very nice. And it was at a beautiful, the Marine
and
Clay
at our
Museum
table. There was only eight awards, right?
There were eight awards and four winners at our table.
We were at the winning table.
Yes. Well, we're always at the winning table.
I know.
So I didn't get to see it live on the news because we were there. But thank God for DVR.
That was a nice venue.
It was a beautiful venue.
The food was fabulous. I can never remember the name of the restaurant.
DeCesto's.
The best Italian.
Oh my God, it was so good. And so there was some of the people in our industry who I adore, Frank Pasco and Ron Reagan
and Susan.
Susan Brehm and Bernadette Holman.
They won.
All won awards.
Oh, and Lynn-Marie Boltsy.
And then I think the other person I didn't know.
The other person.
Yeah. So a shout out to all of you and what you do for the community. I always say how blessed I am to live in the Tampa Bay area, to be surrounded by people that want to make a difference.
And then what was really cool, it was held in the venue was a clay modeling place. And they molded the heart award.
The trophies were made
really
out of clay.
Beautiful.
And it said delivered with hearts. It was a big heart. It was really, really, very, very nice.
So you put it with your other 100?
Whatever.
I don't have one. Next time just tell them Lynn wants an award.
So, Pat, let's talk.
Sure.
One of the things that I'm concerned about, I think a lot of people, our listeners are concerned about, is they don't have an education on Baker acting. That seniors with dementia, or maybe not even with dementia, could maybe even be medication interference, are being Baker acted. I'm very happy to say that Seminole is the first dementia-friendly city in Florida.
Yes.
And Maria Weiner from Maria's Daycare, we had this big initiative, and we went around and we educated the businesses. But we also had the USF Bird Institute come in and educate the first responders.
Wow.
And I would like to see that happen at every place. I mean, we're so grateful that Largo has their own senior services officer.
Joe Flattabomb.
If we start getting all these resources together and doing things. So talk to our listeners a little bit about it.
Well, the Baker Act, I'm going to just do a little history on it. The Baker Act is the common name for the Florida mental health law. And it's got, it includes things that would be inpatient or outpatient. And voluntary admission or involuntary admission. What's most commonly known is the involuntary admission. And in actual fact, there's three criteria that have to be met for someone to be Baker acted, and all three of them have to be met. There has to be a mental illness or appear to be a mental illness. The person has to have declined a voluntary examination, and there has to be a conscientious explanation of the reason for the need of the examination. A person is a harm to themselves, an imminent danger. So there's an
immediate or to others.
Harm to self or others. But the one thing about that is that there is also no, there's no support system. In other words, there's no willing family or friend who could assist the person. And very often people are Baker acted without that being looked at. And it is something that's actually important. There has to be a willing family or friend and or alternative care, other alternative treatment rather than institutionalization.
And there has to be a huge education, like I'm saying, with their first responders, with everybody, with the caregivers, with the people. You know, you'll have someone that has dementia and maybe their loved one doesn't even know they have dementia, or they don't know a lot about dementia, and you'll see a guy that's the nicest guy in town all of a sudden picking up a golf club, and he wants to break the mirrors in the living room because he thinks some old guy is looking at it and it's him.
Right.
That's not somebody that should be Baker acted.
But that
kind of stuff happens.
It does. It happens a lot. But the thing that's important is that mental health is actually defined legally in the law. And there are exclusions. Developmental disability is one. Substance abuse is another one. And in actual fact, a medical condition, another one. Alzheimer's and dementia is a developmental disability, and it's also a medical illness. It is not a mental illness.
Right.
And that's where it gets, you know, bless our police officers. I mean, they do have a difficult task, because if there is an imminent danger, they have to make a choice. But we get calls. We have a hotline, and we get calls all the time from caregivers all over the state, even out of state, whose parents have been Baker Acted. They were in pain. They went to the hospital. They're asked, what was the reason why you're here? I just can't take this pain anymore. Well, that does not mean the person is going to kill themselves.
Right. No, it means I need help.
Yeah, exactly. Elderly person whose spouse just passed away. I feel very depressed. I feel very sad. That does not mean that they're going to kill themselves. They may need counseling, but that's lesser alternative treatment. You know, they often get Baker Acted in the ER.
Oh, you know, okay, you now Baker Act somebody that has dementia. Who right now we know the issue with people with dementia is they want to be in their home, that they need a routine, that they need to be in the same place, that they need to be where they're most comfortable. Well, now you take them and you lock them up somewhere for 3 days. The family only has a very limited window of time that they get to see them. If they didn't have an issue before,
they have one now.
Now have an issue.
Well, that's very interesting that you bring that up. In 2013, the Florida Department of Elder Affairs did what's called the Purple Ribbon Task Force. And they did a whole study and evaluation of Alzheimer's and dementia in the state of Florida. They were responsible for some of the good things we have, the memory care units.
Yeah.
And one of the things they stressed is the fact that Baker Act receiving facilities are a completely inappropriate environment for someone who has dementia.
Right.
First of all, they wander. You can't have that happening in a psychiatric
right.
ward. And the staff there aren't trained. You do need special training to be able to de-escalate certain situations or whatever.
No, it's the same thing, and you know Gary LeBlanc works with this, about the Purple Angel project. So when someone goes in the hospital, if they have dementia, they put a purple bracelet on them.
It's great.
So that they know, because the person that checked them in the emergency room, let's say, may know they have dementia. But the blood tech, the x-ray tech, the person who's wheeling them from the transportation person, they don't know that.
They don't know, yeah.
And they need to know that.
They do need to know that.
Now, is it only a doctor or a police officer that can Baker Act?
A mental health professional mm-hmm. can Baker Act, a nurse practitioner.
So in the medical field or
medical
the police?
Field, a doctor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, the police. There is also an ex parte order, which is you can get a court order, which is executed by the police. So that's where you go to
right.
the court and get an ex parte order, which we've seen happen also with people with dementia. The family will do that as a solution, which isn't really a solution.
But you don't know what else to do.
Sometimes they don't. And that is the case.
And someone advises other than that, and they think that somebody in a support group recently said, I'm going to have my husband Baker Acted, because then when he gets out, I can get him into a community or something. And I couldn't do it any other way.
It happens.
I said, honey, that's not the answer.
No, it isn't. And it's a shame. We need more resources. We really need more resources in this area.
Yeah. Because we have so many people
here. It's so dangerous. I think the Federal Agency on Aging, I think it's called, they actually have isolated a thing called trauma transfer. And that is when you relocate someone to, say, a nursing home or they're in a mental health facility. It's more traumatic for them.
Yeah,
they can't adjust. It actually puts them in overload kind of thing. And aside that, there's also the risk of being put on psychotropic medications, some of which are very, very dangerous. They have black box warnings for elderly people. That means that the FDA has already said these are not good for people with dementia.
But they're giving it to them.
But they give it to them anyhow. Because the viewpoint is the risk outweighs the danger. But it's only 3 days. Do you know what I mean?
And then what happens after the 3 days?
Well, then if they can move them to a facility. I understand where that lady was coming from.
Right.
Because you can't get your spouse, whatever, to go. They won't go. But they don't have a choice if they've been Baker Acted. They put them immediately. And I know it's a horrible way to do it, but what else could you do?
Well, you know, I like the memory care clinics and the all-timer daycare kind of centers. I feel like we need more of those, to be honest.
Well, I think if we had more of those, and I think if people were going to adult daycare, if people had a better education, they wouldn't be getting to that point. Like, the woman that came in had never been to a support group, barely had any education about anything. You know, and you're just thrown into this turmoil situation.
Yeah. And I mean, all of the Alzheimer's Association, the American Geriatric, they're all like, no. Stay away from the psychotropics as a last resort.
Yeah.
Because there are so many risks, you know, to the person. And we just need more options. Do you know what I mean? We need more options.
And we need the education. We need the education.
People need to be educated.
That another woman in a support group, I just remember recently, she came in and she said, "And my husband is being violent. He's screaming. He was never like that. He was the calmest guy in the world. He's this, he's that, he's that." And I said, "What is his diagnosis?" "Cancer." I said, "I think he might have some dementia." Just the different things that she was telling me. Mm-hmm. And she called me like 2 weeks later and she goes, "Oh my God, he has dementia." She went to the doctor and she said, "Can you please test him and can you please see this?" Well, when she found out that, it just changed the whole behavior. It just changed. You're thinking like, why are you being crazy? Why are you so mad at me where you never were before?
Right. It changes the whole picture. And you're right on the education point. And the support groups are what people need because the caregivers don't know. No. They don't have enough information. They have so many things that they have to deal with.
They become isolated with their loved one, and all they spend their time is going to doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
Taking a bunch of medications that I don't think I agree with too much either. I mean, I am not an expert on medications, or I'm not a medical professional, but I've seen people come into my support group and they've decided, you know what? 8 medications, we're going to cut them down to 4. And they're finding out that 4 is working just fine for whatever it was. Or that there's one medication that their loved one's been taking for 3 years is not even effective anymore. There's no reason to be taking it.
Yeah. Well, back in 2016, even the American Psychiatric Association redefined their protocols for psychotropic meds, especially antipsychotics with elderly dementia, and said if it's not working in 4 weeks, titrate down. Don't keep doing it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Or adding something to it.
Right.
That's what they're doing on the TV now. Use Rexulta or something. If you're on antidepressant and it's not working, add another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then listen to, and don't take it if you might be allergic to it. Well, how do I know if I'm allergic to it if I never took it before?
Suicidal ideation at the end.
Yeah, and diarrhea and every other thing.
Yeah, no.
You see, my problem with my husband, he was on like 19 medications because he had everything. And I wanted him taken off, and the doctor said, "We cannot do that unless he's in a controlled environment," and they won't do it. But I know that was what was making him, don't you think?
A lot of it.
Antipsychotics are very hard. They have to titrate down off of it, gradiently come down. You can't just boom.
No. Well, even looked like with Tom. So my husband is having some issue. He has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they had him on prednisone for a long time. And now we're going to start immunotherapy. Well, they wanted him to come off the prednisone. He's only in a very small amount in the morning and the evening. He almost died on New Year's Eve from the reaction of coming off that.
Yeah.
And then he was on another medication, they took him off. So now they've decided they'll let him do the immunotherapy because he's on such a small dosage. And the other medication, they're not giving it to him for anymore because it was only supposed to work for 6 months and he's been on it for 2.5 years.
Well, you know, that's another point I'd like to make. With the Baker Act and the Florida laws, there are some very specific rights that people have. And there are rights that guardians have. And one of them is informed consent. I have such an issue with this because people are not given proper informed consent. There's actually state laws what includes informed consent. You're supposed to be told what the treatment is, what the length of the treatment will be for a medication, for example, what the side effects are, and what is an alternative. That's actually state law.
Well, you know what? You get the prescription, they give you 14 pages of instructions with it that nobody reads. Can we just, like, you could make it into 2 paragraphs. You could make it into a paragraph.
Yeah, but you read it and you think,
Yeah, but think
I'd
about
rather
this.
Die.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna, I'll take it, but I don't want to read
they're
that
just
stuff.
Covering their backside so that they don't get
well,
sick.
Well, I mean, but think about it this way. I mean, if you go, I had emergency surgery for gallbladder, and they wanted to take my gallbladder out. It was serious. The surgeon came into my room and explained the surgery to me, and then somebody came and gave me an informed consent. And I have to say, that does not happen all the time with these psychotropic right. medications, and it uh-uh. should. People need to know. What it's one of your rights, informed consent. It's one of your patient rights. It's also the guardian's right, is to get proper informed consent.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, well, he needs to take this, right. well, what is it?
Can they find out a lot of this information on your website?
Some of it you can. We do.
Can you give your website, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll come back.
It's www.cchrflorida, spelled all the way out, .org.
Okay, and the information will be on my website, too. But right now, we need to take a little break to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the story. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Boo-hoo. The first shock came when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But even more terrible was the realization that Mom wasn't going to be able to care for him on her own. I struggled through sleepless nights and was completely overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety as the disease progressed. Mom could no longer cope with Dad's sudden mood swings and the changes in behavior on her own. In different ways, they both needed help. Then I called Assisting Hands, and I'm so thankful for them. So is my mom. Once again, we both have peace of mind.
Alzheimer's and dementia are devastating diseases, not only for the patients, but for their closest family members. At Assisting Hands, we understand these geriatric disorders, and our staff can provide personalized home care support services that will allow for more freedom to the spouse and family during the transition stages of the disease. Please call Assisting Hands today at 813-280-4838 for your personal in-home consultation at no cost. When you can't do it all,
give Assisting Hands a call. Serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, call them today at 813-280-4838. That's 813-280-4838. Let them help you out.
Remember how you felt when you were a child? Your body was full of life and vital energy. You were healthy. St. Petersburg chiropractor Dr. Colette Chesko has been helping people to recapture that youthful vitality through chiropractic care for the past 13 years. And she's been helping me personally for the past 3 years. Not every chiropractor provides the same type of services. As a chiropractor specializing in corrective care, which is restoring the proper alignment of the spine, not just treating symptoms, Dr. Colette provides patients with a variety of services in addition to chiropractic adjustments, including acupuncture, nutrition, and massage. By using these natural methods, she helps patients of all ages restore their health without using drugs or surgery. The most cost-effective way to achieve health is to maintain good health. Once you have reached your goals, she will help you stay there and feel better for good. So give her a call. Dr. Colette Chesko at Gentle Touch Chiropractor and Wellness Center in St. Petersburg. That's at 727-235-3265. I know you will feel better.
When I first met you, Linda, I was a mess. My dad's dementia, especially the daily stress and agitation, was causing our whole family stress, even losing caregivers repeatedly. Thankfully, someone had suggested we try hemp-infused coconut oil daily. We couldn't believe it. Almost immediately, we noticed a difference, and so did the caregivers. Today, he smiles more. Our family and caregivers do, too. He sleeps better and is a calmer person. It took a long time for us to find a quality CBD product we felt comfortable giving Dad. That's why I started CR World, a company dedicated to providing quality hemp products rich in CBD for seniors and their families, driven by education.
Colette, you really look like a different person. Happier, healthier, and smiling. I'm so happy about that. So for our listeners to find out how CBD is making a difference safely and naturally, you can go to www.comecrworld.com/caregivers. That's comecrworld.com/caregivers. And you can order yours today.
Green. Red roses too.
I see them blue.
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Yeah, think about it, caregivers. It's important to take care of yourself. You know how very important that is. And I want to mention before we chat further with Pat, this next Saturday we will be broadcasting live from Largo Central Park.
Wow.
It is the 10th annual Health and Safety Fair. They said there's going to be like 50 vendors there and 1,000 participants. And Lynn and I will be there, and Becky Moultrie will be on the show with us, and Jay Hess, the hypnotist. So that should be very interesting.
That should be fun,
But come out and see us live. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jack Goodwin is going to be singing from Seasons. So it'll all be really good. Please come. Oh, my God. He has the most amazing voice.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever you've met him, we've been like in a social situation. But Sometimes when you go, he sings to the residents. He sings at breakfast. He's just a singer. So that's wonderful. Also, Power Stories Theater has been kind enough to give us some tickets for our caregivers. So they're having a new show, and it's called The Shining Lives. And let's see, where is the story about what The Shining Lives is? Oh, I don't have all the information. But it's about women, I think, that were exposed to like radiation when they worked and how they fought back and what they did.
And when is it?
It's on Friday, February 22nd. We've already gifted some tickets. If you're interested in winning a couple of tickets, please comment on Facebook after the show today or after the podcast. And we're going to do what we always do. We're going to put all the names in a hat and pick them out. So just think, when your neighbor comes over and says, what can I do for you? You say, can you hang out with my loved one while I go to Power Stories Theater on February 22nd that evening? And your neighbor's going to go, of course I would do that. So, you know what I'm saying? Reach out for help and do some stuff.
That's a good
neighbor.
I'd say, no, I'll go with you.
Oh, one other thing, too, I want to mention. I just received a flyer the other day. There's a parent support group. You know, I love all caregivers. A lot I do is with senior caregiving, but there's a lot of parents that are taking care of kids that have special needs. Disabilities, all sorts of tough things that they're going on. They're on that journey from birth to whenever. So there's a new parent support group. It meets the first Saturday of each month at 10 o'clock at Connect to Christ Church on Oakhurst Road in Seminole. And they're booked out for the first Saturday of each month through December. I will put this information on my website. And I'm also going to have Kendra, who is running this group, come on the show in the future and talk, because that's a whole another set of challenges.
So now I did your support group for grandparents at one point.
Yeah, I used to have that support group. I had custody of my grandchildren for a while, and I had a support group, and it was called PASTA, Parenting a Second Time Around. Because we all need support. We all need support.
So. Oh, we do.
What? Yeah, a little bra support, too, but whatever. So, Pat, I know, we have to entertain ourselves. So how many seniors are Baker Acted in Florida?
Well, in 2017, there were 14,348 seniors.
14,000.
65 or older. Yeah.
More than once, or is that inclusive? Like, my husband was Baker Acted four or five times in 2 years.
We get this information from the Department of Children and Families. I'm not 100% sure how they count.
It's still a lot.
I think it's probably, yeah, it is.
All right, so let's talk more about the potential risks of Baker acting someone with dementia.
Well, the thing that is the most risk is actually they're going to be usually on a 3-day stay.
Yes.
They're put on psychotropic medications. They are. Because the facility, the Baker Act receiving facility, isn't set up to be able to handle a person with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Or violent. If they're violent, yeah. They can't take them.
And their treatment plan or their regulated plan is very psychiatric. It's not medical or oriented in any way. So that's actually one of the biggest dangers. I mean, we've gotten calls from people where they accidentally walked into somebody's room, and the woman whose room, it was a gentleman, the woman whose room he walked in got upset and hit him, and he hit her back, and then there was a whole, they don't know how to actually de-escalate and handle those kind of situations.
Right. Well, and there's a whole other thing. Okay, so I've talked to them about this before. People that have dementia many times have no peripheral vision. Is it they're like looking at it like binoculars, just straight one way. They can't even see in front of them. And then people go, why do they have food on them? Because they don't see that they have food on them, because they don't know. So there was this gentleman that I know. His wife was caring for him, and he went into a facility, and somebody came up behind him and startled him, and he couldn't see them, and he flailed out with his arm.
Right.
So now they labeled him aggressive.
Exactly.
So they kicked him out of that community. So now they bring him to another community. He's in this other community. Okay, so we're talking about that whole vision thing. And the big thing is, when you're talking to anybody, I believe, not just someone with Alzheimer's and dementia, I need to come to you. I need to look you in the eyes at your height. Well, she's talking to him up here, and all he has in his face is boobs. So he went out like that. And now he's like sexual. That. Now he's a sexual predator.
Yes. And it gets labeled way too easily, and people actually don't. The staff don't
all
actually.
All that could have been not happened.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's the wrong place, a Baker Act receiving facility, and there are all these other situations that then can happen. And the only solutions they have is to just keep them quiet and let's medicate them. And that actually, the medications actually can send them on a very dwindling spiral medically and unstabilize them. Plus the fact
just that leaving the house can put them on a spiral. Yeah.
They're already unstabilized. They're in a room with strangers. None of the Baker Act receiving facilities have individual rooms. They're all sort of group rooms. And so they're already unstable, and they're anxious, and they're agitated. So it's just the wrong
And those
scenario.
Are the kind of places that from when you're a little girl, your mom says, don't put me in there.
Exactly.
You know, and now that worst scenario is coming. But my question is, okay, so what do we do about this?
Well, you know, one of the solutions is that the Department of Children and Family does have options for DCF persons to come out and evaluate the situation and offer resources to the family.
Okay.
As opposed to Baker Acting the person.
Okay, so you have someone.
And I know Officer Keitelbaum, he does that.
Yeah.
He will call the DCF.
Yes. Yeah.
People don't
think of calling DCF.
Exactly.
And then I think that's what we have to educate people more about, that there's DCF, that there's places to call. And even if it's not the resource, just call somebody before it escalates. Call a neighbor, call a doctor, call some kind of professional, call a caregiver, call me. Because I think a lot of the times we just need to de-escalate what's going on, and then we can avoid that.
Right. And there needs to be more training on how to de-escalate, and that's... Some of the people that you have mentioned do that.
Right, like Gary LeBlanc.
But it needs to be even more. And the police need to be trained as well.
And continuing. You can't just go in one shot and train all the police, because a few months later, there's new police there. There's people who retired. There's people changed. You know,
The same thing happens with autism. And there was actually a legislation passed that police got trained on autism so to reduce the number of Baker Acts of minors, improper Baker Act of minors with autism, because some of the reactions may appear to be a mental illness, but they're not.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we have a caller, so just let's stop for a second and then we'll come back. Do we have a caller, Vaughn? Hello?
Hi, this is Lori. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Lori, I can hear you. How are you?
I'm excellent, Linda. Thank you very much. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from a little tiny spot in Brent, in Canada called Glenmorick.
Canada, Lynn.
Another great Canadian.
Yeah, Lynn's from Canada. So why are you calling in today?
Well, I know that your show is all about helping out the caregivers for seniors that need that kind of help. And I wanted to talk about what I found to be really helpful up my way.
Okay.
And that is the Vox Life HTT product.
Yes, I love Vox.
Yeah, so just a little shout-out to Vox, because I use them myself, obviously, or I wouldn't be speaking to this at all. But I've had a fair few seniors have really good success, and the idea of the demands that it puts on the caregivers is the other aspect to this as well. So with the advantages of, you know, more energy, more stamina, clearer thinking, better balance, all of that stuff. You know, it's not just an application for young, it's an application for middle of the road, and it's an application for these seniors who struggle too. I have a personal story, if I may share. My mom struggles with Alzheimer's, and she was in a care situation before she lost her ability to walk, which was said it had more to do with the advancement of the disease. But while she was in the retirement home as opposed to the caregiving scenario, she was bouncing off walls just to navigate to go down to that dining room. And she tried the product and instantly knew herself she was better balanced. So instead of, you know, weaving and bobbing down the hallway
and taking a chance of falling.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I would imagine there'd be some vertigo attached to that.
Yeah.
She was able to walk without the aid of a walker and without the aid of an aide, so to speak, you know.
Wow.
Anybody holding her. So she used to call them her socks with the badges, because she couldn't remember the name. But and she knew the difference when she had them on and when
awesome.
She had them off. So, she would particularly ask for them. So, yeah, that. And do I have time to tell you?
You got a little bit more, yeah.
A lady by the name of Violet, raising two autistic granddaughters, 78 years old and riddled with rheumatoid arthritis, put those socks on and called the next morning very excited to say that instead of crawling up the stairs from her bedroom, she was able to physically walk up the stairs, and this was to do with the improvement in the pain in her feet. And further to that, because of the rheumatoid, she went to aqua aerobics, and she was called the wall hanger because she couldn't let go because of her balance outside of school. So she managed to exercise with the group out in the middle of the pool, and that was with wearing those socks in the water.
That's very cool.
Oh, wow.
That's very cool.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
So, yeah, I love Vox. Yeah. I think they can help a lot of people. I think people just have to remember that you need to wear the Vox every day if you want them to work. It's like your eyeglasses.
And you can sleep with them too,
right? Yeah, you can sleep with them. I tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. I had a Charlie horse. You know, you get up, you try to walk it out. It wasn't going out. I put my socks on 15 minutes later. I was cool.
Wow.
So. Well, and we're talking about seniors, but we're also talking about the caregivers, and the caregivers the strength and the stamina and the alertness, and just even the reassurance of their loved ones being in a little bit better position with that brain impact that the socks have. They just, you know, make thinking clearer and that sort of thing. So, yeah, they don't deal with the pathology necessarily, but they provide symptom relief, and over time they correct things in the body that wouldn't otherwise be corrected. That's been my experience anyway.
Without drugs, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Well, Lori, thanks so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it.
Listen, spread the word down there, and you know, if there's anybody else interested in Vox, there is an opportunity event coming up, free for people to attend.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's under the umbrella of the Success Express Tour. It's taking place in Orlando, February the 23rd. people can come for free and learn all about the technology. It's wearable neurotech. It's cutting edge. It's 50 to 100 years ahead of its time, and it's on Holiday Inn Orlando. Is it at the Holiday Inn Orlando?
Yeah, I got the information. I'll put it on my website. I just wanted you to say it, too. So, yeah,
then
people
go
there.
Wear your socks and go to Disney.
Yes, I wore my socks when I went to Disney. You need socks when you're going to Disney.
You do.
All right, thanks a lot.
I need to know about this. Thank you, girls.
Have a delicious day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Okay, it's about time to hear from our partners one more time, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia and Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize each individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, the goal is to make your loved one as comfortable and as independent and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming, with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four themed houses. It warms my heart when I visit there and see how joyful the residents are. Please call or stop by to talk to a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole is at 727-517-7800, or you can reach them in Largo at 727-559-8411. You'll be glad you did. VoxLife realizes that people of all ages and walks of life are focused on wellness and optimal performance. Wellness consumers are looking for products that will enhance the quality of life and are asking for natural, safe solutions for more energy, pain relief, and enhanced mobility. Well, VoxLife is the answer. VoxLife has harnessed the power of neuroscience and neuroactivation and spent 6 years developing HPT. HPT instantly improves the user's strength, energy, stability, balance, and range of motion while providing natural pain relief. And this is done so easily with their socks and insoles at a very affordable price. I know when I go to the gym, I can see the difference immediately when I have my VoxLife socks on, and they also have helped many of my caregivers and their families. For more information, go to voxlife.com/caregivers. They've helped me and they can help you too. That's voxlife.com/caregivers.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, you know what happens when you hear those horns? It's time to get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I do.
Yeah, you do.
On February 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Five Towns Magnolia Auditorium in St. Petersburg is the Smart Living Health Fair. There will be health screenings, demonstrations, samples, door prizes, and lots of fun. Then on February 22nd from 8:30 to 4 p.m. is the 5th Annual Caregivers Conference at St. Petersburg College. Digitorium.
Yes.
Sorry. The conference will provide valuable information on ways to help caregivers balance health and stress along their journey. A continental breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snacks will be provided. RSVP by calling 727-393-7000. 7711.
And that is a great conference. I will be there in the morning helping out with some things. A lot of information there. You know what I say? Knowledge is power, caregivers. Here you'll have a whole group of speakers there giving you good information.
Yes. Right. The Dementia Spotlight Foundation is presenting a day of free dementia education on March 8th and a day of music and fundraising on March 9th to raise money for free respite care for our families in the Tampa Bay area. March 8th will be at the Heritage Hall of Lake Madeline Church in Tampa from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And March 9th, the Tampa Bay Alzheimer's Music Fest will be at Skipper's Smokehouse. And Linda will be the MC, so you gotta go. Gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'll be the MC there. All the expenses have already been covered, so all of the money raised goes to Caregiver Respite Care. And the day before, I'll be doing a workshop. Gary LeBlanc will be there, Chris the Bowtie Guy, a whole bunch of really good people.
Perfect.
And I hear we have something, Gary told me yesterday, we have like 40 firemen coming. I love that.
I like firemen.
Yeah, maybe you have
maybe
your
I do.
Yeah.
I'll be with the captain. On March 10th at 3 p.m. at the Pinellas Performing Arts Center, the Matinee Opera Players is having their next performance. The Quintessence Chamberwinds will be performing with them. As always, it is free and there's plenty of parking.
And that's a great thing to go to. It's a great family event. It's free. It's a couple of hours. They have refreshments. Yeah. And the music is always good, and it's always interesting. Ron Reagan's always there, so it's all good.
You know what you have to mention is where you took Tommy for the salt therapy, that thing.
Oh, yeah. I took my husband and I went the other day for salt therapy. He has one of his issues is COPD. And we went to this place called East West Healing in Palm Harbor. And it's a salt therapy room. So you go in, and there's probably like 5 inches of like Himalayan salt.
Pink salt, right?
Yeah, the pink salt. And then you're like on a nice recliner chair. And then a little bit of salt comes like through the vents. And you just stay in there for half an hour. And he could breathe so much better.
Wow.
When he came out of there, it was just amazing.
Again, no drugs.
Yeah, it was great. And Perfect. It was $20 for both of us.
Wow. Oh, yeah, you got recline, like nice
yeah,
chairs.
They said it was $40 on the phone. We thought it was $40 each. But no, it's $40 for the room, and there's only 2 seats in the room. So it's
covered by
Yeah, so it was cool.
We could take 20 friends and go cheap. I'll sit on the floor.
So, Pat, what else do you think my listeners need to hear today?
Well, I want to stress exactly what you've been saying. Education is the key issue. On our website, www.cchrflorida.org, we actually have what the Baker Act law is and what the criteria are and what your rights are. We also have a hotline that you can call, 800-782-2878. And we have, usually, it's mostly 10 to 6. Mm-hmm. We have persons who handle the hotline can help you and assist you how to actually get someone released so that they can get to the proper treatment if they've mm-hmm. been Baker Act and they have Alzheimer's and dementia. Because actually they do not fit the criteria.
That's right. So important too, because yeah. once they're in there, you don't know what to do.
Yeah. And we also
have
referrals.
And then you're in trauma too.
And, yeah. and then they act crazy because they shouldn't be there, so now they're going to keep them longer.
Oh, and they're fighting. And
yes.
They're, and
right.
But we also have lawyers. These are private lawyers, but they're people that we know the Baker Act
yeah.
law.
Yeah,
and
important.
We can refer. I mean, we have a guy that's up in the Jacksonville area. He's a former pilot, and he will fly his plane down if he has to.
Wow.
They're private attorneys. We don't, unfortunately, have any in-house attorneys, but sometimes the situation is so severe, you just need to get the person out, and they can help with the writ of habeas corpus and mm-hmm. all the legal right. stuff that has to happen. So give us the call if you're really desperate. Good. We can help you out.
Thank
What's
you
the phone
so much
number
for being
again?
On this show again. Yeah, give the phone number one more time.
800-782-2878.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect.
We're glad to meet you. Glad you're here today.
It was a pleasure.
Hopefully we can work together in some different ways. Because there's a lot of help is needed out there for a lot of different things. So, Lynn, anything else you need to chat about today?
I'm just excited for next Saturday at Largo Park.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really great.
Well, that's fun.
I have a lot of people out there, and you'll be able to just walk around the tables and get a lot of good resources. And we're going to be in Ybor City the first Saturday in April, live at the old folks' home. They have a beautiful
they
big
might
party.
Keep us.
Yeah, I know. Well. We have to be really careful when we go there.
Yes. Act smart.
So, yeah. So, and then I just, and I'll be in Sun City Center, I think April 24th. I'll give the information. We're doing a caregiver spa day there, like we did before. And in fact, one of the gals in my support group this morning goes, oh, my mom happens to live in Sun City Center, yeah. So I think I need to go there. And what it is Palm Garden of some Sun City is having a caregiver spa day. So you'll come in and I'll do like a half an hour little presentation on tips for caregivers on how to take care of themselves. And then they will have people there doing chair massage and manicures and facials and strawberries and chocolate.
And it's all free for the caregivers,
all free
right?
for the caregivers.
Wow. Watch out for the golf carts.
Yes. But come, because, you know, we had one of those a couple of months back over at Palm Garden and Largo here, and I have to pull the caregivers by the hair of their heads to get them to come. And as each one came, when they left, they were like, oh, thank you, Linda. This is the best thing. And they would give, like,
nice.
Great gift baskets out. It just something nice for yourself. So I'm going to keep giving you this information, and you will know enough ahead of time that when your neighbor or your friend from Kiwanis or church or whatever asks how they can help you, you're going to say, can you spend time with my loved one so I go to the caregiver spa day? Because like I always say, as much as you think you're the bomb caregiver, your caregiver needs a break from you too. And you'll come back a better person for both of you. It makes a really big difference. So thanks for joining us today. We'll be at Largo Park next Saturday with Becky Moultrie from Assisting Hands.
So we won't be on YouTube next week.
No, we won't be on YouTube, but we'll be on everything else.
But we are this week.
Yep, and we have Jay Hess, the hypnotist, coming. So go to ConnectingCaregiversRadio.com, nominate a caregiver. They deserve it. Go to our Facebook page, Connecting Caregivers, and like it. It helps because then we can get more information out there. I so appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I know it's not easy just to be able to sit down and tune into a radio show, but I'm glad we have other options to hear the show. So glad you're here today. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Yes.
Darkest night, you just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call. On you.